Hey, it's Glenn Beck. Stuber here, ready for the podcast. We'll tell you about in a sec. First, Stu is getting ready for the big weekend here at the Mercury Studios for our Mercury Museum.
Yeah, can't wait to check it out, the museum. We've got bringing a tour this weekend as well. You can get your tickets. I don't know if there's any left. There might be a couple at mercury1.org, but there's definitely tickets to get to the museum. And a lot of different tours you can take. The tickets are as low as like what, $10 or something.
That's $10 you can get in. I think for kids, maybe $20 for adults. You know, if you're two spirit, I don't know. There may be some discount.
I understand it's half price for each spirit.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're two spirit, it's
yep.
See, I was pushing for double for two spirit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you went for the half price, and I'm glad they adopted that.
See,
half price
there
for
you
each spirit. You can find it all now at mercury1.org. Come spend Independence Weekend and actually Independence Day, July 4th, with me at 12 Score and 3 years ago. Find out all about this at mercury1.org. Great show today. Started with a call from a member of Ocasio-Cortez's staff who was there and could tell us all about the horrible brutality that Ocasio-Cortez had to go through.
That really was that was a sad way to start the show.
It was. It was. Then we got into another sad tale of how somebody let this one slip onto the back of Nike shoes. The real story about the racist Betsy Ross flag and why Nike should have listened to Colin Kaepernick. And there might be a little sarcasm in today's show. I don't know if we actually got to any of that. Also, the latest poll numbers and what they all mean, and how Antifa is running our cities now. Oh, and Showtime has a show on Fox, and I guess I'm featured in the next episode. And I'm guessing it's going to be very, very flattering to me, especially since the guy from The Walking Dead, who played just an obnoxious redneck, is playing me. But all that and more on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Home Title Lock says there has been a new breach of 900 million homeowners' files, but it's only 900 million. It's only, you know, like three times the population of the United States. So, you know, what are the odds that you're in? It's the worst data breach in U.S. history. Now, your home's title, mortgage, bank loans, personal information now is probably in the hands of identity thieves, and they can forge your home's title so it appears that you sold it to them. Then they get loans from online lenders using your equity and stick you with the payments. Right now, don't give identity thieves a chance. Register your address right now for free and get 30 days of free protection. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com. Get 30 days of free protection. All you have to do is just register your address now at HomeTitleLock.com. 30 days of free protection. HomeTitleLock.com. Okay, we have to take these things seriously because women need to be believed. And here is what Ocasio-Cortez said when she left the border guard yesterday. Listen carefully.
In that last facility, I was not safe from the officers in that facility.
Do you have any comment about what was posted about you in the alleged Facebook group?
I mean, I think it's just it's just indicative of the violent culture that we saw on the inside as well.
Wow, the violent culture that she just saw. She, in that facility that she went to check out with all the cameras and everything else, she was not safe. I wish there had been somebody around that might have witnessed her feeling unsafe. And I understand we have somebody who had witnessed that or couldn't explain exactly what happened yesterday. Because we must take her seriously. She must be believed. In 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
She wasn't safe, Stu. She was not
safe. I'm glad you're aware of that.
When I heard this, I thought to myself, my gosh, these Border Patrol agents, are animals. They're just animals. Physically and emotionally putting Ocasio-Cortez in an unsafe atmosphere. And of course, all women must be believed. And so we're shooting from the hip on that one. We're just going to believe her and take her at her word. And we have somebody, and what is your name again?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Brittany.
Hi, Brittany.
Hi, I'm an aide to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
You are what?
I'm an aide to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Okay, so.
I was on the trip to the border.
You were on the trip.
I was.
Mm-hmm. And
what I witnessed was shocking.
Was shocking.
To the American people.
Okay. And so you were there when she was unsafe.
She was unsafe.
All right. Did you feel...
From the officers.
Yeah. Did you feel unsafe?
I did feel unsafe as well.
Okay. All right.
I was very disturbed by the way that the officers were threatening Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Okay. What? So what... So how is she being threatened?
She was physically abused.
She was physically abused.
While at the facility.
And you witnessed it.
I did.
Okay.
There was one officer in particular.
Uh-huh.
Who physically abused Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Okay.
With his pupils.
With his pupils?
Yes. He physically looked at her.
Uh-huh.
Multiple times.
Multiple times.
And I can't believe I had to witness it.
Well, wait, but wait.
Okay. Did I say the officers were doing it?
Yes, you did.
Because the officers were looking at her with the pupils.
Uh-huh.
And at one point, she was molested with a retina.
Okay.
And it was not just the physical abuse. It was also mental abuse that I witnessed.
How was the mental abuse?
One officer was thinking about her repeatedly.
How do you
thinking
know?
Thinking over and over again.
Thinking about what?
These officers who had other, they hurt the thoughts.
The what?
The thoughts inside of his head were about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Okay, how do you know that?
There was a social media post about her.
Okay.
This is the Holocaust. The Holocaust of social media posts occurred to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez while I was there.
Okay.
And these Holocaust-like posts.
Right.
This was assassination by meme.
Assassination by meme.
By meme. These are people who are former border agents, or people who said they were former border agents, or people who said they knew someone who was a former border agent,
right,
or someone who has once seen a former border agent who post memes that were negative about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Okay. And that is the Holocaust.
The Holocaust of memes, yes.
Yeah, okay, so may I...
One person who was a prisoner told Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez while she was there that she was recently forced to sleep on a bed of needles.
On a bed of
needles. Infected needles.
Infected bed of needles.
By... The needles were infected by government-created HIV. Because they were the ones that did that.
Right. I don't think so,
but... then this poor prisoner was carved up with a machete by a man wearing a hockey mask who was a former border agent.
Okay. I don't think any of this happened.
They were put in a barrel of acid.
Right.
And dissolved.
Okay, so...
And only because Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was coming did they surgically repair her.
They surgically repaired her after they dissolved her.
To cover what they did at the border.
Okay. So did you see the bed of needles?
I did.
Hello? What was that?
That was me rolling my window up. Just like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez does when she gets tough questions.
Okay. All right. Brittany, thank you very much for the report. Appreciate it. So she has refused to respond to claims that she saw people drinking out of toilets. I wish she would. Look, here's the thing that should happen. When I saw this report yesterday, I thought, this is the most outrageous. I mean, remember, this is the woman who compared these to concentration camps. So we're lucky that she didn't say that, you know, the border guard was shoving people into showers and into ovens. But instead, she said they're forcing people to drink out of toilets. Now, I cannot imagine this happening, but stranger things have happened, right? I guess. Stranger things have happened. So,
stranger things have happened than a prisoner, a supposed prisoner who's saying things about the people who are watching them, the guards. Because that never occurs.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who commits an offense like crossing the border illegally would never say something negative about Border Patrol. They should just be immediately believed without even a hint of skepticism.
Right, especially that we know that a lot of the organizers are from Chicago and are communists and Marxists. So when they see their ally, Ocasio-Cortez, come in, I can't imagine anyone running to the chain link fence and saying, oh, they were forcing me to drink out of toilets. I can't imagine that happening.
No.
However, let's just take it at face value, because when somebody makes a charge like that, we should know. For instance, let's say, let me think of something that would just never happen. You were walking down the street in the middle of the night, let's say in Chicago, and somebody said, this is Trump country, and then put a noose around somebody's neck. We should take that seriously and then figure out, did that really happen or not? It's kind of important to investigate. So when I first saw this yesterday, my first thought was, if I'm Donald Trump, I immediately dispatch the FBI. And I go to Ocasio-Cortez, and I seriously say to them, I don't want to show any, you know, some sort of show investigation. I want an actual investigation. We want you to investigate exactly what she said. Then I want her to identify that woman. We'll take that woman and we'll put her into protective custody. So there's you know, not going to be a problem with the border guards. The FBI can take her if they want. And make sure that she's protected and taken care of. We want to know the description of the border guard. We want to know his name. I'm sure she remembered his badge number, because if somebody was saying that, I would try to remember at least his name. And then I want a full investigation on that. And if those border guards are doing those things, I want them fired. Now, on the off chance that this didn't happen, I would like to prosecute anyone who is making outrageous charges like this, because you just can't go in and make charges. If we're going to take every woman seriously, I think we need to start with Ocasio-Cortez. Let's take her seriously. Let's send the FBI down. She felt unsafe. She felt unsafe in that facility. My gosh, let's get it on the record. What exactly was making her feel unsafe in that facility? Now, I can't imagine that the ProPublica story that coincidentally came out at the same time she was making this charge, I can't imagine that she had prior notice of that, and this was a great way to hype that story. But let's take her at her word.
I'm sure she was asked for comment, considering she was the first person named in the story. So she would know, unless ProPublica is a horrible journalism organization that decided not to get comment from the people mentioned.
It's just an amazing coincidence that she happened to be down at the border and she felt unsafe in that facility at exactly the same time that story was coming out.
And again, what's the story exactly? I want to make sure I understand that people post bad things online. Is that a news story? Is it? Because, gosh, I've seen a lot of terrible things posted about you, but yet never one report about how awful it was. That is I can't believe a public figure would have nasty things posted about them on the internet What an incredible scoop
it was
by ProPublica.
Wait a minute. It was not just nasty things. They were things that made her feel unsafe.
Were they? I guess they were. I mean, I don't know why she thinks that the people that she was standing near were the ones who did it. They're like, this was this, how do we know they were border guards? Well, this is a Facebook private group. And like a Facebook private groups with 10,000 people. All you need to know is have an invite from someone. You could be five steps removed from a border agent and be in that group. It's the dumbest thing I've ever...
Just so you know.
And by the way, border agents are people, right? Like, so, yeah. Yes, they also have dark humor and do bad things. There are some agents that obviously make inappropriate jokes. Mm. What world do you think you live in? Mm-hmm. This is... Every conservative that has ever posted anything negative about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in any level of critique has been accused of much worse. I don't know if you remember Ben Shapiro asking Ocasio-Cortez to debate, and she accused him of catcalling, not some random person 10 steps removed from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but herself. She said it. She accused him of doing that because he asked for a debate on the issues.
I just know that Ben Shapiro has never felt unsafe from things that were said about him on the internet.
Oh, no.
I have never felt unsafe, ever, by things that were said by people on the internet or in Facebook groups or Think Progress or, you know, basically from the floor of Congress. I've never felt unsafe by anything like that. We need to take her seriously. And I mean it. The president needs to investigate this story. The FBI should investigate this story. If the border guards are doing the things in the facility. Remember, she felt unsafe in this facility. How stupid does a border guard have to be to do that to a member of Congress with witnesses around? She also claims they're drinking out of toilets. I want to know, is that true? If that's true, then those border guards need to be dismissed and fired immediately. If they were doing something criminal, they should go to jail. But on the off chance that they didn't do that, we must put a stop to people making crazy, crazy statements, and then they're just floating out there in space.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and I want to tell you about something that you should either end your day with or start your morning with, and that is The News and Why It Matters. If you like this show, you're going to love The News and Why It Matters. It's a bunch of us that all get together at the end of the day and just talk about the stories that matter to you and your life. The News and Why It Matters. Look for it now wherever you download your favorite podcast. In news that proves... we're not anywhere close to Kansas anymore, Toto. 49-year-old Roy Larner. He was defending himself against jihadists who killed 8 people, injured 38 others. Now, do you remember this is the London Bridge attack 2 years ago? Remember the Islamists came on London Bridge? They just started slaughtering people, killing people. And this guy, 49-year-old guy, he defended himself. The attack left him with more than 80 stitches to his head, ear, arms, and hands after 2 of the terrorists slashed at his head and neck. Following the attack, Larner revealed that the terrorists had shouted, "This is for Allah, Islam, Islam, Islam," during the rampage. So he fights these guys off. Now, this is not like, they were having a planned thing. This was a planned attack. This was not a peaceful gathering of Islamists. These were people who came on to London Bridge and just started killing people 2 years ago. So he was awarded the highest civilian award for gallantry. He was given the George Cross. Seems great. So far, everything seems great, right? Well, apparently, he was contacted and interviewed by a far right-wing group. And the man who says, I am not political at all, has now been put on the government's terror watch list. The guy who fought against terrorists is now on a terrorist watch list for fears that he might become an extremist. He is now being forced to attend de-radicalization classes and is now being monitored by the police. Could we maybe see if we can get a hold of this guy? Because
it's going to make it worse for him. He's really going to be in the terrorist watch list.
We're either missing something in this story, mm-hmm. or England has gone full-fledged bat crap crazy.
Is it possible this guy was spotted with a Betsy Ross flag? Because you want to talk about a sign of terrorists.
Not in his shoes.
Basically, the number one sign of terrorism in the world is the Betsy Ross flag.
Well, she was a horrible human being.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I don't know anything really about her, except she was a seamstress. And mm-hmm. probably the story's not true. But I am so offended by the Betsy Ross flag because it shows that you are a crazy kook.
I, for one,
am glad that Nike listened to Colin Kaepernick and pulled all those shoes from the market.
Well, I mean, he has a lot of evidence that the Betsy Ross flag is basically it's basically white supremacy. It's basically a white hood is what I see it as.
Amen. But
BuzzFeed has pointed this out, by the way, and mm-hmm. they have nailed it. Listen to the evidence piling up. It's piled so high you can't see the top of the mm-hmm. heap mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. this evidence. Are you
mm-hmm.
ready?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Number one.
Yes.
A 2018 story by The Outline noted that the Betsy Ross flag was on display in the home of a member of a white nationalist group.
That's number one. Shut up.
And you think, well, that's more than enough to remove this historical flag.
Well, that's why I have been boycotting Lucky Charms, because mm-hmm. that white supremacist also was eating Lucky Charms. And I'm telling you right now, General Mills is a white supremacist symbol. Everything True. General Mills makes, I boycott. Mm-hmm. I don't want it on the shelves.
Thank you.
Telling my local grocer, you carry anything made by General Mills, and I am out. You are a racist.
Mm-hmm. Now, some people might say that's one piece of evidence.
Okay
from 2018.
You
don't have anything from this year so far, but the year isn't, I mean, it's not over yet.
Did you hear 2019. That David Duke also eats cereal from General Mills?
No, I wasn't talking about the flag.
Oh.
The Lucky Charms, there's plenty of evidence on that.
Oh, I thought that was enough for me to hate the flag. There's more evidence?
There's more. So 2018, one Betsy Ross flag mm-hmm. spotted in the home of one guy who mm-hmm. belonged to a white supremacist group. That's evidence piece number one. Number two. As if you need more in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 2016, you might notice I skipped over 2017. There were no pieces of evidence, apparently, that the Betsy Ross flag had anything to do with white supremacy in 2017.
That's what they want you to think.
Or so far, 2019.
Yeah,
but
example. Let me tell you something. That's what the racist right-wing media wants you to believe.
Right-wing media BuzzFeed.
Yeah, and CNN.
Mm-hmm. But in 2016, now listen to this white supremacy. Are you ready?
Yeah.
At a high school.
High school.
In Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Which is basically, it's a hood in the form of a city.
Let me just remind you, Grand Wizard.
Grand
Rapids.
Uh-huh. What kind of, let me think, what kind of rapids? White Water Rapids.
Exactly.
Commonly
right.
referred to.
Everybody knows it.
So
it's code. It's a dog whistle.
Yep. In 2016, students at a high school in Grand Rapids, Michigan, displayed the Betsy Ross flag.
Not on Cinco de Mayo. Please tell me not on Cinco de Mayo.
No.
Okay.
Worse? Worse than that.
I can't even think of that. Uh-huh. This is becoming the flag holocaust.
And you might think, wow, is there a white supremacy gathering at a high school
in Grand Rapids?
Right. You think it must be that. Well, no.
Mm-mm.
In 2016... students at a high school in Grand Rapids displayed the Betsy Ross flag along with a Trump campaign flag.
Oh, my gosh.
It's even worse.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. Uh-huh. The student school superintendent later apologized.
How did Nike miss these bombshells?
So let me just review.
Okay.
And I don't know if we have time for me to get through all these again, but let me just review all of
them. Just give me the highlights.
Okay, I'll give you the highlights.
Okay,
2018.
Yeah.
One guy
who
was in a white supremacist group had the flag.
Holy cow. Along with cereal.
Along
made
with
by
probably cereal.
General Mills. You put those two together.
An Irish cereal.
Yes,
by
yes.
By the way.
Lucky Charms. What do you think they're saying?
And then in 2016, only 2 years before that.
Only 2 years.
Only 2 years separated these incidents.
This is showing a pattern.
Yes. And this one was a flag with the Betsy Ross flag next to a Trump campaign flag. And there you go.
Hear the dog whistle?
Well, no, you're not supposed to be able to hear dog whistles unless
you hear it now.
Dog. You know who can hear it? People in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Yeah.
Those people can hear it.
Racist.
Because they're racists.
So,
as evidenced by this 2016 school that displayed a flag of a candidate that won approximately half the vote.
Now, you might ask yourself, why are you guys talking about the Betsy Ross flag being a symbol of obvious hatred and racism? Mm-hmm. Well, that's because Nike has yanked a USA-themed sneaker featuring an early American flag. Notice CNN is covering, this is the Wall Street Journal, covering for Nike right now, just saying an early American flag. No, it's the Betsy Ross flag that has a long history of two incidences of being a racist symbol. Colin Kaepernick told the company it shouldn't sell a shoe with a symbol that he and others consider offensive.
Yeah, because he really should have the veto rights over all of America and what they find offensive.
Right.
Colin Kaepernick, his head is just screwed on so well that he's the guy that should make the judgments for all of us.
Yeah. Mm. Well, but wait a minute. I thought it wasn't about the flag.
No, it's not. Why would you say it's about the flag? These are people who are patriotic that were kneeling on the field.
But hang on. He said it's
an utter patriotism.
Right. He says they shouldn't sell a shoe with a symbol that he and others consider offensive. So the symbol was the flag.
No, I remember it's not about the flag. Well, let's listen back to Don Lemon.
Okay.
Who can tell us the true origins of this debate.
Here's Don Lemon.
Number one, she is a black woman. She's a mixed race woman. When you see her, you see her blackness, but she is also South Asian. Her mom is South Asian, and her dad is Jamaican.
I don't know how we're...
Listen,
there he is.
More power to her. And I think it's great. That is that should be enough. Listen, it is enough that she's a black woman.
We are not a monolith.
I think you're not hearing what people are saying. The people who are saying, is she black enough? That's bull. That's BS. But to want a distinction to say, is she African American? Or is she black? Or is she...
I think this
whatever.
Is the wrong set. This is another really good Don Lemon cut, I'm sure.
Yes.
Can you play the video, please, of Don Lemon?
Taking a knee at an NFL game was never about the flag or the military.
Never.
That's what the president wants you to believe.
Yes.
It gives his insulting sons of bitches comment cover.
Yes, it
a
does.
A comment that not only insults hardworking professional men, but tries to drag their mothers down.
Yes, the mothers, because the sons
taking
of bitches,
a knee
get it?
Is a constitutionally protected expression. It falls within league rules, period.
Right.
If anyone actually believes this is about the flag, then you must believe Rosa Parks protest was about a bus.
It wasn't about the flag. You know what else gave Donald Trump a little cover about it being about the flag? It being about the flag. And now it being confirmed.
This is
about the flag.
Sneakers. This is about sneakers. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about the flag. Now, he works for a sneaker company, but I'm sure that it was something else about these sneakers, not just the flag. Being a, quote, symbol that he and others consider offensive. So here's what Nike did. Nike took those sneakers and shipped them all over the U.S. for Independence Day. And then shipped them all back to be destroyed, or more likely, shipped to a homeless shelter where they will be worn by the homeless, which, for them.
Disrespecting
but
them.
Probably not in America, because they probably wouldn't want that to be seen. So they'll ship them over to Africa or someplace else where people will gladly grab those sneakers and wear them proudly.
I hope they cut the back of the shoe out, though, so that people don't see the Betsy Ross flag, which, by the way, need I remind you, was used in two prominent white supremacist attacks, including the display in one home of one person and next to a Donald Trump flag in 2018 and 2016.
Now, we are going to do the work that other journalists won't do. We are going to find out if Don Lemon has ever had any breakfast cereal from General Mills.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and if you like what you hear on the program, you should check out Pat Gray Unleashed. His podcast is available wherever you download your favorite podcast. Stu, how excited are you? The political glass ceiling may be shattered. Oh, thank goodness. Well, actually, it was already shattered, well, by, what was her name? Geraldine Ferraro. And then it was shattered again by Hillary Clinton. But this time,
Don't forget about Sarah Palin as well.
Oh, yeah, Sarah Palin. Sorry, Sarah Palin. Mm-hmm. But this time it might be shattered.
It might be.
Yeah, for the fourth time.
We've been told over and over again it was only white men that were getting any votes in this primary.
Well, Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden.
That's
it. Obvious that the people that vote Democrat were racist.
Yeah.
Because it was the craziest thing I've ever seen. They're calling their own people racist.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently not so.
Not now.
Yeah, it's almost like they were looking to hear the voices in a debate and then compare instead of just jumping on a bandwagon because of what's in your pants.
Yeah, and this has been kind of a different... these polls look a lot different than they did just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Joe Biden, again, we said this over and over again. It's Joe Biden's to lose,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But Joe Biden is good at losing.
Yes, he is. He's lost many presidential runs.
Yeah. I mean, again, he was... you know, handed the vice presidency mm-hmm. with Barack Obama. But other mm-hmm. than that, I mean, this would be his third time running.
Mm-hmm.
And the first two did not turn out well,
mm-hmm.
1988 and 2008.
Mm-hmm.
So here he is again back in 2020, which is incredible. Joe Biden running for president. Now, 2 months ago, he led Kamala Harris 39-5, which is a pretty significant lead. Then
it's high score wins, right?
Yes, high score wins.
All right,
yes.
Good. I just want to make sure that Joe and his team understand that. High score wins. Keep that in mind.
So that was in late April. Late May, he led 32-8, so a 24-point lead. After this debate, he now leads 22-17 over Harris, a 5-point lead. So he's
which
lost.
Is a smaller number than 39.
That's a great point, Glenn. Thank you.
I just thought I'd throw that in.
I didn't know you were a poll
nerd. Mathematician.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not a mathematician, but I play one on TV and radio.
Yeah, basically the latest poll after the debate, all taken after the debate, it has a four-person sort of top tier
mm-hmm.
now, with Biden at 22%, Kamala Harris at 17%, Elizabeth Warren at 15%, and Bernie Sanders at 14%.
So what do you think the two most important things that I take from this is the Kamala Harris surge.
Mm-hmm. She's basically doubled her level of support.
In one fell swoop. Mm-hmm. One question, really, is the difference between the poll numbers. Joe Biden, if she hadn't have done that, I'm not sure Joe Biden would have come down, and I'm not sure she would have come so far up.
Mm-hmm.
But she handled that like a prosecutor. She's a great prosecutor and a great actress, and I'm not saying that anything she said she didn't believe or whatever. I'm just saying that she knows how to package it. She's a good storyteller. Joe Biden was not. He's an old school kind of storyteller, and everybody just feels like that just rings totally false, and he seems old and outdated, and she made him look that way immediately. Also, you look at Joe Biden's numbers and you look at Joe Biden's performance, and if you couldn't answer Kamala Harris when you knew that question was going to come up, you knew you were going to be cornered on that. If that's the way you handle it, how are you ever going to handle somebody on stage that is a, I mean, he's an IED waiting to go out. You step one place and Donald Trump's going to blow you up.
Right. It's very difficult to prepare for Trump because you don't know where he's coming from.
Right? No idea where those IEDs are buried.
Much less predictable than this situation, which was
totally predictable.
Again, you're talking about the biggest story in Biden's previous 2 weeks leading up to this debate, whether he had said these things about segregationists and busing and stuff. And you're next to the top tier candidate who happens to also be African American. How did you not see this coming?
The other thing that I find very interesting is, and I would like to see, where did those people go who were with Bernie Sanders? It appears as though they went to either Warren or Harris.
Warren mostly. I mean, because Warren had been making a move before the debate. I don't think anyone says that Warren had an amazing debate. They did a poll. Part of this poll was who do you think won the debates? So that was Kamala Harris 41, Elizabeth Warren 13, and then Biden 10, Castro 4, Sanders 4, Buttigieg 3. So I mean, basically,
well, that's not counting Beto, right? Beto has the other.
Beto actually showed up as a negative number. I don't know. Maybe a misprint. I don't understand.
Okay.
So this is a situation where Harris had a breakout performance, right? But I mean, again, one breakout performance a year and a half before an election does not win you a nomination. Mm-hmm. She's got to do a lot more than this. Mm-hmm. What she did here was get herself into that top tier.
Yeah, now she's got to, and it's really hard to hold. Mm-hmm. It's easier to gain than it is to hold it.
Yeah.
So she's got to, if you're on her campaign, you're hoping that she doesn't peak too early here. Mm-hmm. Because she's got to hold this thing.
I mean, we can run through the names, and you'll remember a lot of them. I mean, mm-hmm. Herman Cain and mm-hmm. Fred Thompson and Carly Fiorina had a run like this in 2016. She had a great debate performance, came up to that top tier, was not able to hold it. Now, Harris was kind of bubbling under that top tier anyway, so this one,
I think she's a real deal.
Yeah, it seems like it's real. But another thing they show in this poll is who do you think could handle particular issues best, and Harris doesn't particularly perform well when it comes to things like the economy, for example, or healthcare. She performs really well when it comes to race relations, which is one of the four categories they tested. Mm-hmm. But again, race relations, while it's going to be a big issue, certainly in the Democratic primary, as it always is, obviously identity politics are huge. It's not necessarily, you got to do more than that to be able to, get elected by the American people as a whole. I mean, mm-hmm. that's one issue and it's an important issue, but it's like they're also going to want you to be good with the economy and healthcare and all these other things.
If she can't close the gap on healthcare and the economy, she doesn't win. Because if the economy is good, people are going to be much more reluctant to switch horses midstream when things are good. Mm-hmm. If things are bad, that's going to be the top priority. Also, something else you should look into is how do they fare on foreign affairs? Because between Iran and their ally, Russia, I wouldn't count out real problems internationally sprouting up right before this election.
No, I mean, obviously, it could be a potentially huge issue. I don't think they tested that. They tested the economy, healthcare, the climate crisis, and race relations.
Who's best to handle that?
The climate crisis, Bernie Sanders, apparently.
Bernie Sanders is.
He's number one, then Biden 2, Warren 3, Harris 4. Mm-hmm. That was healthcare. I read that incorrectly. I'm sorry. For the climate crisis, it's a tie between Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden at 19%, Warren at 14%, and Harris at 6%. Mm. Listen to the economy, though. This is a legitimate problem, I think, for Kamala Harris. And why, if you want to make an argument that this is a fleeting
moment,
bump, because she has to do more than this. That's the most important takeaway. She can't just have one moment about race with Joe Biden. She's got to continue this. She can't do, I mean, we've seen this in the past. Mitt Romney was a great example of this. Mm-hmm. Beats up on Barack Obama in debate number one, but then basically turns the campaign off for the rest of the time and loses.
Literally, it seemed intentional.
Yeah, it almost did.
It seemed like, how could I lose this race?
Yeah. Listen to this for the economy. Tell me Harris does not need to improve these numbers. Who's the best for the economy? Number one, Joe Biden, 28%. Number two, Elizabeth Warren, 20%. Number three, Bernie Sanders, 16%. Kamala Harris, 6%. Her issues are 6% for the economy, 10% healthcare, 6% climate crisis, 29% racial relations.
It's not enough.
It's right now, it's just a moment for her.
Here's the thing. She is a prosecutor. She's very, very smart. She's accomplished. She can do this. This will be hers to lose. She could do this. And she, to me, she would make the most fierce opponent. If I were advising the president, which I'm not. But if I were advising the president, I would be most fearful of her. I would be doing more work if this holds to make sure that you know how to go toe-to-toe with her. Because she's going to be a different
debate. She's no Hillary.
She's right? Not Hillary.
You have to look at that and realize that Hillary was a uniquely terrible candidate.
Joe Biden, I think he'll crush Joe Biden. I think he'll do a great job on Joe Biden. I think he'll do a great job on Elizabeth Warren. Mm-hmm. I think he'd do a great job against Cory Booker. I can't think of anybody that I don't think he could crush. Kamala Harris is different. She'll be able to make him look like a bully easily.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, I think he would lose.
And I think, you know, we talked about this from the very beginning with Harris, and that, you know, we've been pretty bullish on her chances to win this primary because of her kind of unique skill set. That being said, she has not been tested in this sort of spotlight before. She had a great first debate, but that doesn't mean that she's going to be able to perform like that every time. She won a Senate race in 2016. Remember, she's not been around that long.
No, and nor she, but she has the experience of being in front of a jury.
Right. She's used to winning regular people over, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and your job as a prosecutor is not just to come up and be prepared for every line of argument, mm-hmm, which is a big deal in a mm-hmm debate, but also be able to communicate to regular people with emotion to move them
and to be likable.
That's right. And, you know, look, I don't think a lot of people will tell you that she's not likable, but she was able to do it for a pretty long time successfully. That does not mean this translates to a win in the election by any means, but we're talking about danger and percentages and what's her chances. And I think her chances are, you know, of all these candidates, she has this sort of skill set that is dangerous in an election, and which is why, of course, Democrats are throwing money at her like crazy. The other one they keep talking about is Buttigieg, who looks really bad in these polls, did not seem to do very well.
Buttigieg isn't going to do it.
It doesn't. You know, the thing about Buttigieg is, man, this guy cannot get an African-American to like him. It's amazing. I mean, it's a big part of this primary, and he can every other group he's okay with. And then it gets to black voters and they're like 0%.
Has he tried to use the Joe Biden trick of using the word man a lot?
Not enough. Yeah. Not enough.
Hey, Glenn. I'm Pete Buttigieg, man.
Man.
And man, I got to tell you, man, it's going to be great, man.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Just an interesting side note, I guess. Showtime is doing a Fox News series. I'm sure it's absolutely accurate. It's called The Loudest Voice. Russell Crowe is playing Roger Ailes, started this last weekend. And it showed the beginning of the Hannity show when Roger Ailes hired. I'd love to talk to Sean to see if he even saw it. I didn't see it. I'm sure he didn't either, but how accurate he thinks this is.
Because you have some interesting episodes coming up as well.
I do.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at the cast here, mm-hmm, and Josh McDermott, mm-hmm, who was in Walking Dead, Twin Peaks, mm-hmm, among other shows, mm-hmm, playing you in this mm-hmm particular series. We do need to, of course, have clips of this ready.
I'm sure it's going to be very flattering.
You know, how could they portray you in a way that isn't flattering? That's what my question would be. I can't think of a way to make it negative.
I can't.
No, I'm sure.
Or at least
can't
more
either.
Negative than it's already been. It's, you know what I mean?
True.
What's weird is looking at Russell Crowe in Roger Ailes' office. Were you ever in his office?
Maybe once.
Hiding under his desk.
I have a Me Too story coming out soon, yeah. So I don't want to ruin it for everybody.
But you look at him in the office and stuff, and at least the pictures. I haven't seen the movie. The picture looks like his office, and it looks like Roger from a distance.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be interesting. It's interesting, too. They waited until Ailes died before doing all of these things. There's a big documentary that came out. Was it Netflix, I think, a documentary? You were in that, too,
mm-hmm.
About Roger Ailes.
Mm-hmm.
And now that he's gone and no longer can defend himself, there's
I mean, wait a minute.
No, I won't be fair. This book came out while he was alive. The book this series is based on. So.
Yeah, and the documentary, I thought, was reasonably fair.
They definitely went to great pains to not just show the bad side of Roger Ailes, which was usually they will not do that in these things. They showed that he was really a genius and did do a lot of amazing things in the industry, not just related to Fox News. I mean, his whole life was basically...
He was an Emmy Award winner.
Yeah.
A Tony.
He won
a Tony. I mean, that's crazy. He was a Broadway guy. His first play that he ever did on Broadway was called Hot L Baltimore, and Norman Lear bought it from him, and he's the guy who found it, and Norman Lear bought it from him, bought the rights, did a TV show based on it, and it won a Tony. I mean, the guy was no dummy when it came to entertainment.
Now, this has a pretty big cast, too. Russell Crowe, Sienna Miller, Seth MacFarlane, Naomi Watts is in it. All on Showtime. I was thinking, though, about this. You've had an interest. We need to go back through these at some point because the stuff comes and goes so fast that you forget about it. But there's been a lot of portrayals of our own Glenn Beck over the years. I mean, you had two episodes of The Simpsons, at least one of South Park. You had Jason.
I don't know if I ever saw the South Park one.
Really?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, it was Cartman. When that was the most accurate portrayal, I thought. I mean, it's basic. It's almost like you've based your persona on Cartman.
Yeah,
think about it.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah,
I can see that. Yeah.
You're growing into the role. Let's put it
that
way.
Thank you.
You also have Jason Sudeikis, who played you. I think it was him on Saturday Night Live, right? Didn't a bunch
remember.
Of times.
Yeah.
Over and now you have this series. Which is about Roger Ailes.
There was something else I saw recently.
There's a Boston Legal. Remember Boston Legal?
Yeah,
that
yeah,
show
yeah.
you
yeah.
were on that. Uh-huh. There was. And sometimes they do it and they just like portray a Glenn Beck esque character.
Yeah.
Which they don't actually call Glenn Beck, which is blatantly based on you. You're writing on a chalkboard saying crazy.
Well, that was
conspiracy
the Homer
theories.
Simpson, the one where he became a TV show host.
Yeah.
And he was crying all the time and writing at a chalkboard and using crazy things. Like, I think he had a bacon cake or something like that. And he was like, this is the United States.
was it a Family Guy, too, on that?
I feel like
there was a Family Guy where maybe Peter portrayed you as well.
We should find them all. Because I don't know if I've...
That would be a good webpage, just have all those in the same place.
Yeah, because remember when this was all happening, we were... You know, people would say, hey, you know, you see Saturday Night Live? We're like, no. Oh, they did a big sketch on you. Huh. And then we'd move on.
Right. You wouldn't even know.
So there was
it.
Like so many shows that did stuff that we never even saw.
Yeah, you got mentioned on Saturday Night Live during the election, during 2016. And I remember, you know, they do like four new episodes a year, I think, of Saturday Night Live at this point.
Well, it's very tough.
It's very difficult for them to come up with those three terrible sketches that they come up with. But it was a sketch about the election and you were talked about in it. Yeah. A decent, you know, like 30 or 45 seconds of one of these monologues was about your, you know, whatever you were doing at the time. And I didn't see it until the rerun. And I was just like, this is amazing. Like here, I work with this guy every day and Saturday Night Live. Remember, this is Saturday Night Live. The one that said, you know, Russia, I can see it from my house. It like changes the course of elections. Now is so invisible that they're talking about a guy I sit across from every day and I didn't even know about it. Like, that is
everything
a bizarre
change. Everything has changed.
Really
I
has.
Mean, 60 Minutes 60 Minutes, remember when 60 Minutes would set the news? There were two things that set the news for a week, and that was the New York Times and 60 Minutes. The New York Times still kind of sets the, you know, the pace for most of the media news. But 60 Minutes, you never hear anybody talking about that anymore.
And sometimes they do really interesting things. I mean, 60 Minutes has a lot of liberal bias, but some of the reporting has nothing to do with politics, and some of it's really interesting. You know, the
I can't remember the last time I watched a 60 Minutes.
I just watched something on there recently, and it was pretty interesting. I can't remember
on actually TV or
No, it was on the website.
When's the last time you actually sat down and watched a network TV show?
Like a major network TV show?
Yeah, like ABC, NBC, Fox.
And I'm assuming
CBS.
You're not going to allow me to include like the NBA Finals.
No.
Or Sunday Night Football.
Yeah. Because if that's the case, I think mine would be the Super Bowl.
Right.
No. And before that would be the Super Bowl.
The previous year's Super Bowl. Jeez. I'm trying to think of one that I've watched. I'm having trouble even naming them. I you know, Saturday Night Live,
the Thursday night lineup in the 80s or 90s of NBC.
All right, and Seinfeld and, you know.
Name it in order. Can you do it?
I don't know if I can do it in order. But I mean, in the 80s, it was like Cosby and all those.
Cosby. Family Ties.
Family Ties.
Then it was Cosby, Family Ties. Then it was, Cheers.
Right.
Right.
What a freaking
then
lineup.
Then Night Court.
Oh, my God.
Then L.A. Law. I couldn't tell you two shows back-to-back on network television any day of the week, any network.
I can't either. I mean, I know like a Sunday, Fox has Family Guy still on and The Simpsons still on.
That's probably the only one. That and 60 Minutes because they've been running ever since.
Right. But those are like obviously, I mean, I think Family Guy's in its like 20th season or something. Mm. I mean, Simpsons is what, 30th?
Yeah.
I
think about how culture has changed since that came
out. It's incredible. But I mean, we could all sit here and rattle off Netflix shows. Right. I mean, like that is, look at the change. That is amazing. Remember Netflix? The thing I love about Netflix is, first of all, they're just a DVD company, right? They're mailing DVDs to people's houses. That's how they started. And all of a sudden, they make that announcement, and they switched over to streaming. And at the time, this is when we were kind of first getting into this with The Blaze, people thought it was insane. You'd have to go and like everything would buffer, and it wouldn't work, and no one wanted to deal with it. And then they had that time that they raised prices. And there was story after story about how they were over. They've let down all their subscribers. This is going away. And then here they are. Now, you know, I mean, really, the force of entertainment is, I mean, there's no one even close to matching it. I mean, Amazon has a place there in Hulu, I guess, but it's really just Netflix. And
Amazon is pretty good.
It's secondary,
but it's there. But the selection the selection on Amazon is better than Netflix, but the Netflix, you know, special movies, you know, Netflix only, mm-hmm. those are probably better than the Amazon things. But
and the crazy part about that is Netflix at one point, in a moment of desperation, their founder went in and almost sold Netflix to Blockbuster for, I want to say it was like $75 million. It was like, I mean, on the scale of what it is today, nothing. And they were in a point where it was like things were not going well and they were wondering whether they were going to make it. They met, had several meetings, and Blockbuster was the one that said no. They didn't think.
Blockbuster said no.
Yeah. That's unfortunate.
Do you know there's still one Blockbuster left in the United States?
Is there still one? Yeah.
There's one. It's in Oregon. It's the last one left. I mean, I don't know how. Do they own the entire light? Did the entire company just end up in that one? Like, franchisee is like, yeah, I'm the president of Blockbuster. And hey, don't forget, return that video.
Be kind, rewind.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.